We're in the last week of the earthly life of Christ, coming up to the last few days, in fact. Luke chapter 21. Excuse me. Luke chapter 21. Going to be reading verses 20 to 28 today. Luke chapter 21, starting in verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by enemies, then recognize that her desolation is near. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must leave, and those who are in the country must not enter the city, because these are the days of vengeance, so that all things which are written will be fulfilled. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and of the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this prediction of what will happen, for this prophecy, Lord, that is given by Jesus himself. Father, thank you that it's dire and it's hard and it's really rough. It's going to be tremendously dangerous. And yet, at the end of it, he gives hope. Thank you that there is always hope, Father, because we serve a God of love. We serve an almighty God, a God who knows no bounds, who is all-powerful. Lord God, thank you so much that we can have hope in every circumstance, in every situation. We have your word. Lord God, thank you that you are faithful to your word and that your word is truth. We love you. Through Christ we pray. Amen. As we get into this, knowing Luke, the only Gentile writer of the Gospels, has written to show the humanity of Christ, but he also shows the deity throughout it. We see that in his birth and when in his ministry, as he goes about and does miracles, as he raises the dead, and all that he's done, all these signs that he's shown, and the people are excited. Remember, he's done this for over 3 years. And the people are following him saying, hey, this is the Messiah. This is the one who's going to set up his kingdom right here on earth. And Israel's going to be great. And we're going to help him lead. And their expectations are growing. Now keep that in mind, because as we go through this last part, their mood's going to change. The people's attitudes are going to change, because their expectations are not going to be met. What they expect in the Messiah is a king that's going to reign, is a king that's going to take over Rome and rule, and then they can be great again. Israel can be the top nation again. But that's not what he is predicting here. In fact, the last week here, as he made his triumphal entry and he's come into Jerusalem, and the people were excited, and hundreds of thousands of people lined that road and threw the palm branches, waved the palm branches, threw their coats down, signifying humility, and the palm branches signifying victory. They were excited. And yet, he didn't take over power. He went and he went somewhere and slept. And then the next day, they were excited because he was in the temple, and then he starts, he challenged the authority of the rabbis, of the chief priests.
And they were excited there, but yet he didn't follow through the way they expected him to.
And then the priests and the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, they all came with their hard questions, the questions that they can stump anybody with. And Jesus answered them all. So he silenced all of his enemies, all of those who were against him. And yet he still wasn't acting like the king that the people wanted. But he had dashed their expectations. He was dashing them as he was going here. But last week, what we saw that he was promoting problems, yes, but there was some good that was going to come out of the bad. He would have an opportunity. He said, you'll have an opportunity to witness. You'll have an opportunity to stand before kings, to stand before those who you wouldn't normally stand before, and give your testimony, give your hope. And then he closed that section with talking about endurance. And the double meaning there, as we look at this, because a lot of stuff was happening to these people and was going to happen to these people in 70 AD, about 40 years later. A lot of things looked like they would be fulfilled, and yet what he's talking about, and mostly, and we're going to see that today, we're going to solidify that today, is the Great Tribulation. So we're going to see that as we get into it. But what we're going to look at today is the final triumph here. We're going to start in verse 20 and look at the problem with Jerusalem, the Jerusalem problem, starting in verse 20. He says, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by enemies or armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. This wasn't what they wanted to hear. He's tying this all together. But here Jesus, the Messiah, was here, and they're saying, well, set up your kingdom. We'll fight for you. We'll help you. And he says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, he says, understand that the desolation is near, that Jerusalem's going to get wiped out. It's going to be very bad in Jerusalem. Now, this happened in 70 AD. It's prophetic. It's going to happen in 78, but the problem is it also happened back in 586 BC with Babylon. And in 586 and in 70 AD, these were foreshadows of what is going to come. So what he's talking about here, and I'll show you that a little later, what he's talking about here is the tribulation. What we have left, I heard somebody, a sermon this week, it was really good, on the rapture and the tribulational period. But we're looking for the rapture. I mean, the Bible talks about how we are to anticipate the Lord to come, and we are to look for it, and it could happen at any time. And we think about, well, what about the second coming? Is he talking about when Christ comes and sets his foot on the earth? No. That will happen 7 years after the signing of the peace treaty with Israel. We know when that's going to happen. As soon as the peace treaty is signed, we know when that's going to happen. But there is something that's imminent coming. When Christ comes in the clouds, that is imminent. When the dead in Christ shall rise, 1 Thessalonians, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are alive will be caught up with him in the air. We caught up with him in the air. That's a whole different thing. It's called the rapture of the church. And it's a sudden thing. It's something that's anticipated or hoped for, but it's not known when it will be. And that's going to happen. And when that happens, then it'll set up a time in which there will be a devastation to the earth. In fact, it will be God's wrath poured out on this earth. It'll be called the tribulation. The first half is called the tribulation. The second half is called the great tribulation. And we're going to look at that a little bit here today. But look what he says in verse 20. He says, when you see Jerusalem surrounding, he said, recognize, and that word recognize is the word gnosko. It's the word to know. It says, know in a growing type knowledge, an experiential knowledge, know this, that her desolation is near. The word desolation is destruction. And that, yes, it happened in 70 AD where the Gentiles took over, but it also happened in 586 BC. It's happened over and over, but it will happen to a greater extent during the tribulation. But look what he says in verse 21. He says, then those who are in Judah must flee Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must leave, and those who are in the country must not enter the city. It's going to be sudden. It's going to happen suddenly. And you say, well, you know, it kind of did in 70 AD, but not really. I mean, the armies got together, and the army of Rome, and they got together and they besieged the city, but it wasn't a sudden. It took several years, in fact. But it was still a foreshadow of what was to come. Jesus was warning these followers that, you know what, your expectations aren't what God works from. Your expectations are not always God's heart. What you expect physically from God may not be exactly what he's going to give you. In fact, he warns them over and over and over. But what happens in the tribulation is that it does happen suddenly. It will happen suddenly right in the middle of the tribulation where the Antichrist will come against Israel, even though he's made a treaty with them, and they'll lay down their arms. That treaty will be so secure. And yet in the middle of the tribulation, it will come about. But look what it says in 21. Those who are there must flee. Flee to the mountains. If you're in the city, leave. If you're in the country, don't enter the city. It's going to happen quickly. Verse 22. Because these are the days of vengeance. Now listen to this. So that all things which are written will be fulfilled. There's a key right there. These are the days of vengeance. This is God's vengeance against the world, against the earth, because of sin, because of unbelief, because they didn't recognize the Messiah first time. This was Jesus sitting there talking to them. Jesus was speaking to them, and yet they didn't recognize what the Messiah was truly like. They didn't recognize the spiritual nature of the Messiah. But also because they made a deal with the devil. They made a deal with the Antichrist at the beginning of the tribulation. Israel did, and they trusted the Antichrist instead of trusting the Christ who was here even right at this time. So he gives a lot of woes. He says, woe, woe to those who are pregnant, verse 23, and to those nursing babies in these days, because there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to this people. He says, woe to them, because they are there's the people in that situation and those problems, it's going to slow them down. It needs to happen fast. You need to get out fast. Whoa. There won't be any time to prepare. There'll be great distress, great wrath. See, he's talking about the tribulation. We're gonna see that especially. But look back. Look back at what he says here in verse 22. He says, these are the days of vengeance. God will have vengeance, but he says, it's because this was what was written. And the word written there says, so that all the things which are written will be fulfilled. The word written is grapho, and it's in the perfect tense, which means it's absolutely, it's complete, whatever was completely written. And it's a participle, which means it's an ongoing basis. It's a passive voice. It was written not by the men, but by God. What God inspired them to write. So what God put in here will happen. And that's one of the reasons for the tribulation, because God said it would happen. It's going to happen. You can trust what God says. And this is one of the reasons, and then Jesus is telling them, look, it's not what you think, this kingdom, and that's going to be the beginning of the kingdom of God. We'll see that. But he says, this kingdom that you're thinking of is not what God is thinking of. And God's going to bring vengeance upon Jerusalem. Jerusalem's going to have huge problems, which was anathema to them. They didn't even want to think about that. But he says, these woes are going to happen. This problem. In fact, look what it says in 24. Three things here. They shall fall by the edge of the sword, which means they're going to die in battle. They'll be led into captivity unto all the nations, which means they're going to be taken captured. They're going to be captured and taken away. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled.
Now, this literally happened in 70 AD. We look at that and say, well, it happened in 70 AD. Yes, it did, to a point. It's going to be much, much worse than the Great Tribulation. Now, I keep saying that it's really talking about the Great Tribulation here. And what I want to do is go to Matthew 24. I'm going to read this to you. It's found in Matthew 24, and it's verses 15 to 19. But it's where Matthew's account of Jesus saying this. Okay? So, how Matthew presents it is different than how Luke presents it a little bit. But it's the same account. So when Jesus was speaking and Matthew was listening to him, here's what Matthew said about what he said. He said, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get things out that are in his house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant, those who are nursing babies in those days," and he goes on and on. It's the same account. He's talking about the same incident here. And he says, what's going to happen is the abomination of desolation. Now, we look at that from Daniel and we compare it to Revelation. What we see is when the Antichrist, at the beginning of the tribulation, he makes a peace covenant with Israel. And Israel, it says, hey, finally, we're going to be protected from all of their neighbors, which Israel has, all of Israel's neighbors hate them. They want them destroyed as a nation. And they say, finally, we're going to be protected. So they lay down their arms. And then this great world leader called the Antichrist, that we know him, 3.5 years in, he goes into the temple and he does an abomination of desolation. In other words, what he does in his sacrifice is completely abominable before God. And when he does that, he is declaring war on Israel, and he is going to invade Israel and hate Israel. And Israel, and he's saying, look, at that point, you see that? Run. At that point, it's going to be extremely harsh, extremely bad. So that's why we have to look at this and you say, in the context of what it's in, it's talking about the Great Tribulation. And we're going to see that a little bit more. But the times of the Gentiles. You know, Israel, when they took the land, and then in 586, 606, 596, and 586, when Nebuchadnezzar came and from Babylon and they destroyed Israel, and they took captives. And it's been in Gentile hands pretty much ever since. And then in 70 AD, it was trampled out, and one stone wasn't left upon another on the temple, and that beautiful temple that they had. And so all of these things that's been in Gentile hands, well, in 1948, they became a nation again, and the Jews are somewhat in control. No. It's been in the time of the Gentiles. In other words, God worked through Israel. He made a nation. He worked through that nation to show his love to the world. Israel said, we got God. You don't. Get out of here. He set aside Israel, and now he is working through the church. And guess who the church is? Jews and Gentiles. He's working through the church. And at the rapture, he's going to pull the church. And there, yes, there will be people saved during the tribulation. And those people are going, the ones that he's talking about right here. But when the church is gone then, he's going, and we're going to have a marriage feast in heaven. It's going to be amazing during that tribulation period. The tribulation is going to be horrid here on earth. It's going to be amazing in heaven. We're going to have a marriage feast of the Lamb. Where Christ will be the groom. We as a church will be the bride. Going to be astounding. And yet, at that time, it'll be much distress here on this earth. And all of these things are going to happen, all of these problems. And then at the end of that, he's going to come, and Jesus is going to come, and he's going to take over and rule from Israel. And Israel again will be the nation. Israel again will be the top nation of the world. That's the kingdom that these people wanted now. And yet there has to be a lot of things that happen before that, because it was written that this would happen. And God can be trusted. This will happen because God said it. Let's look at Jerusalem's problem. Let's look at the world's problem. Look at verse 25. There will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among the nations and perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. These signs that we're talking about in Revelation, and I didn't write it in, but it's Revelation chapter 1, and then you get to chapter 6 through chapter 19. You see all of these amazing signs. Stars falling. The sun losing part of its light. The moon darkened. In fact, turned to blood. There's all sorts of huge signs. And you know, when I was in college, I wrote a paper on how the moon affects the tides. And it really does. The rising of the moon and how the moon is, it affects the tides around the world. And can you imagine something happening with the moon and throwing it off? What's going to happen with the tides? Well, according to this, according to verse 25, it's going to be perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. Did you see any pictures of that tsunami that happened in Japan several years ago? Wasn't that amazing? I mean, they had pictures, you know, from a rooftop. Somebody's taking pictures and this wave just comes and it just keeps coming and it keeps coming, and cars are going down the street and then buildings take off, you know, and it just keeps rising and it keeps going. And it doesn't wait for anybody. It's going to be worse than that. And the word perplexed there, the word perplexed means to be at a loss or to uncertain or to be anxious. All of these things are going to cause huge fear. Look what it says in verse 26. Men fainting from fear and the expectations of the things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So at the end of the tribulation, it's going to be total chaos and total fear. Rightly so. People will be fearful. I mean, we fear now, don't we? At times, I mean, you know, lightning. Well, some people do. I mean, some dummies like me are out watching it, you know. But we have a tornado. What do? We go to the basement. Why? To try and keep... And it produces fear. All that produces, because this is great things that we can't control. Huge things that we can't control. This is going to be much, much, much worse. And they're huge things that they can't control. And they're going to faint from fear, it says. In fact, if you look in Revelation, they're going to pray that the mountains fall on them so they can die, so they don't have to go through all of this. But look what's going to happen, verse 27. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud. Now you notice, it says they'll see him coming in a cloud in power and great glory. The Son of Man was standing in front of them now. In fact, he had called himself the Son of Man several times. They understood that the Son of Man and the Messiah was the same term. They knew that. They were wanting him to be the Messiah, and yet he said the Son of Man will come in what? Power and great glory. That's the king they wanted. When Jesus was here right now, how had he come to them? In meekness and in humility. Jesus had come in meekness and in humility. That was not the Messiah they wanted. That's why on this day, 2 days before his crucifixion, these people still want him to be the Messiah. 2 days later, they shake their fist at him. Some of these same disciples, not the 12, but the others, shake their fist and say, "Crucify him. Crucify him. He's weak. He is not strong. He's not coming in power and great glory." But he says, they'll see it. They will see with their eyes, recognize. The word "see" means to understand. They'll understand This is the Son of Man coming, great power and glory. Then he'll be revealed to the world. But look how he ends this. Look at this, verse 28. This is the neat. But when these things begin to take place, and when he says begin to take place, in other passages it says this is birth pangs. It's when we were, I put a we there. I was never pregnant, okay? When Chris was pregnant, when we had our first kid, let's go with that. When we had Ben, I was talking about this, but I almost fainted the day before, okay? We went to the hospital. I'm one of those dads that And we went in there and they started working on her. I'm going, I don't think I'm going to be sick. I had to go out of the room. So all night I'm praying. Lord, let me be in there. You know, so she has contractions every 15 minutes. Mark, there's contractions. Oh, we write it, we're this first kid. You know, write it down. Okay, time it. Yeah, okay, it's first kid. Twins came, it's going, so? Got a baby here? You know? All right, so we're writing it down. We're doing, so I'm staying up all night. So the next day we had that baby, we had Ben, and I didn't have a problem because I was so tired. Yeah, good, honey, great. Yeah, so it didn't bother me. Lord knew what I needed. But what was my point? Birth pains, there we go. Birth pains. So what happened when she started having these contractions? And these were the beginnings of birth pains, They were the beginnings of... And so we knew that the baby was going to come sometime. Because the beginnings were happening. Jesus is saying, look, this is the beginning. And in other passages, it says birth pains. This is what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. Now, when you see that, when you see all of these things happening, look what it says. He's telling them this. He says, straighten up. Straighten up. The word straighten up literally means lift up or stand up. Stand up. Look up. In fact, he says, look what he says. Straighten up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Redemption, to redeem, means to buy back. To buy back, to set free. Buy back so you can set free. He says, your redemption, your being set free, your liberation is drawing near. He's telling those people that. But you know what? This is the hope that they, in the midst of a horrible situation... I mean, people are fainting because they're so afraid. The oceans are out of control. The stars are falling. Everybody's looking around saying, this is the end. Their expectations now, those people, the world's expectations was, the world's going to end. This is bad. This is horrible. And they're fearful, completely fearful. But he says, instead of being fearful, look up, straighten up, stand up. And your redemption's going to happen. And they know that that's true because it is written that this will be. And Christ is giving them this hope for the people. This is a hope that people in that time are going to need. All right? We don't need this specific one because we're not going to be here as a Christian. If you're a Christian, you will be gone when this happens. In fact, we will be coming with Christ in the cloud. We'll be coming with him and set foot on earth with him. We'll be in the armies that he brings with us, with him. So it'll be a completely different vantage point for us. But these people are going to need it. But they'll need it, and they'll get it, and they'll stand up and lift up their heads because God said it's true. Because they can trust what God said. You know, what they had was extremely harder than, it will be extremely harder than anything we can ever have. But what he's saying here is don't let fear dictate you at that point. Don't let fear dictate you, because fear is going to be prevalent. Not to the ones who are saved during the tribulation. Because perfect love casts out fear. Isn't that amazing? That's what I love about God. Perfect love casts out. When you know your God, you know perfect love. And there's a lot of things on this earth that make us afraid. Uncertainty and not being in control. There's huge ones right there. Things happening that are out of our control. But they're never out of God's control. Ever. So anything that is happening, I mean, we as Christians have hope. We as Christians know that what God said is true. You know what? We have hope now. We aren't even going through what they're going to go through. And yet there are times the problems that we have, because this world has problems. We will have problems in this world. It's not as bad as the tribulation, but it's still problems for us. Bad things happen. Bad things happen to help us develop and help us grow. But you know what? He's given us promises in his word too. You know what he said to us? Us? We Christians? His children? He says that we are adopted into his family. He says we can call him Abba, Daddy. It says, he says in, I believe it's Hebrews, he says, I will never, never leave you. I will never, never, never forsake you. I love that passage. As you know, as I repeat it over and over, five nevers, five negatives there, which means it's absolutely, absolutely true. He will never leave us or forsake us. That's his promise. And what God has put in here is true. So in the midst of struggles with our health, in the midst of struggles with our vehicles, in the midst of struggles with the house, in the midst of struggles with the relationship, in the midst of those things, I will never, never leave you. I will never, never, never forsake you. God wrote it. It's true. That's amazing. When the people are saved during the tribulation and reading this, and they're going to see fear all around them, and what it says is, you see these things happen and stand up. Lift up your head. Look to God, because your redemption is really close. He's coming in the clouds. He's going to make it right. You know what? He's in our hearts. The Holy Spirit lives within us. We have a great hope right now. And God's word said it. And you can trust what God's word says. He is faithful to his word. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We can trust him. We can trust his word. What he says will come about. Are you stuck in a hard place? Look up. Look up. He will lead you. He will guide you. You can trust him. You can yield to him. What he says always comes true. And you know what? You're fearful about something? Get to know God. Perfect love casts out that fear. And God has perfect love for you. If you have not trusted in Christ, you can know the God who has perfect love for you. In fact, you can be part of his family, adopted into his family by receiving the free gift that he offers you. If you have trusted in Christ, remember, there is fear that happens. Satan will, he's got darts of fear coming all the time. But perfect love casts out the fear. Shield of faith, remember? That's what stops the darts, the shield of faith. Faith that what God says is true. And what we learned today, all of the tribulation is going to happen because it was prophesied to happen. In Daniel, in Hosea, in most of the minor prophets, it was prophesied to happen. It's going to happen because God said it will. Isn't that amazing? You serve that God, the God that is true to his word. What he said, he will do. Let's close in prayer. Father,